Young Lines in Turmoil, Don't Hate on Asians, Simon Says No to Killer Cop Memoirs, Fed Judge Orders Los Angeles to Hurry Up on the Second Wave of Tiny Homes for Homeless, and Hip Hop Loses Another Icon. And we are in a world of smartphone cameras and even smarter aliens. Welcome to the premiere broadcast of the Balanced Reality Report. Yes, this is Report Numero Uno. I'm your presenter, Pharaoh. The Balanced Reality Report brings you various views to a story and leaves it up to you, the listener, to make up your mind based on the facts. Are mental health disorders on the rise in young people? According to the World Health Organization and research studies mentioned in this report, yes, there is a mental health crisis across racial, gender, and sexual orientation lines. And young males aged 15 to 34 top that list. Researchers attributed the crisis to such factors as isolation due to COVID, lack of social contact due to reliance on technology or social media, or a bleak outlook for their own future and financial woes. Some researchers even claim that the so-called virus pandemic is causing mental illness pandemic, especially in people under 40. Deutsche Welle reporter Anne-Sophie Brendlin interviewed two different experts on this subject, University College London or UCL research fellow Elise Paul and Indian clinical psychologist Mithili Hazarika.
Studies across the world show that it's young people especially who are experiencing increased levels of anxiety and depression during the pandemic. A Canadian study showed that millennials, so those aged 15 to 34, had the highest rates of clinically significant anxiety at 36% and are much more prone to substance abuse since the pandemic broke out. But one of the largest data sets on mental health has been collected in the UK.
What we found is that consistently around 1 in 5 people in our study have been experiencing depression symptoms that are, you know, significant enough that would require clinical attention. At the same time, around 15% in our study have been anxious enough, experiencing enough anxiety that they would also probably meet criteria for clinical disorder. So the problem is significant, and these numbers are higher in young adults than they have been over the course of the pandemic.
And it's not just in Europe where mental health is an issue.
We have 140 longitudinal studies in more than 70 countries. When we look across studies, we find a similar pattern that young adults are more adversely affected in terms of their mental health in other countries as well.
One of the countries in which young people are especially struggling is India. That's why one clinical psychologist there started a telephone help hotline when the COVID crisis struck.
In 2 weeks, 239 callers were there who had actually reached out for us for different kind of mental health issues. It was like day and night, you know, 24 hours. So, but we never knew that this was so huge. And there were around 46% people who were anxious, like I think 22% were depressed, as well as depressive symptoms were there, and people were suicidal. In India, 19 to 35 years, you know, the anxiety was found to be very, very high.
Studies have found that financial fears and worries about the future are one of the main triggers for young people's deteriorating mental health.
People are very, very anxious about career and job-related issues, economic hardships. Hopelessness is something we should be very, very worried about, because that is one trigger for, you know, suicide, as we all know. One couple I still remember, they had called us and said that they are going to a bridge. They said, we are going there to now commit suicide. And I went and I spoke to them in person. Why is this happening? Then they said, we don't have any money in our bank.
Well, the pandemic has been a very different experience for people of different age groups and young people who are, you know, just starting their careers and building momentum in their careers may have experienced this as more of a negative impact in terms of those disruptions, as well as financial insecurity for the future.
According to the ILO, 114 million jobs were lost in 2020 worldwide. And it's especially young people who haven't been able to establish a career who are worried about their prospects on the job market. Mm-hmm.
Reporter Brendlin mentioned world job market stats from the ILO. The ILO, or International Labor Organization, is a United Nations agency whose mandate is to advance social and economic justice through setting international labor standards. Again, that report was from Deutsche Welle News Agency. As a side note, in 2014, researchers from the Department of Neurology and Psychiatry at St. Louis University published a review article concluding that testosterone hormone therapy successfully treated mild cases of depression in men over 40. Other case studies connected low testosterone levels or hypogonadism to depression in young males. The most prominent of these studies, a 2007 study in the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism, revealed a substantial drop in U.S. men's testosterone levels since the 1980s, with average levels declining by about 1% per year. And by the way, testosterone acts much like cholesterol, which means a diet low in HDL cholesterol could also be contributing to such factors as mental disorders or depression, at least. During a rare moment of bipartisan unity, Senate approves Asian Americans Hate Crimes Bill, and this occurred on Thursday, April 22nd, in less than 2 months' time, without any Senate Judiciary Committee hearings. Of the majority supporters, two of them, Democratic Senator from Hawaii, Mazie Hirano, who was Japanese American, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, who was German American, had this to say about bill passage.
On this vote, the yeas are 94, the nays are 1. The 60-vote threshold having been achieved, the bill as amended is passed.
I cannot tell you how important this bill is to the AAPI community, who often has felt very invisible in our country, always seen as foreign, always seen as the other. And for them to experience a kind of hatred against them through no provocation on their part, to be the victims of unprovoked, just random assaults on them as they are minding their own business in the subways, grocery stores, takeout restaurants, on the street. This bill, I would say, just as important as the substance of the bill and what we hope to do by gathering the kind of data we need, that as important as the content and substance of the bill is the message of this bill, that we in the Senate are going to stand with our AAPI community and indeed any community that is discriminated against on the basis of race or any of the categories that you and I can think of.
This legislation sends a dual message to our Asian American community. We will not tolerate violence and bigotry against you. And to those who perpetrate the violence and bigotry, we're going to pursue you to the full extent of the law. It's a dual message. It's a 1-2, and it's needed.
That report was from Global News Network. Hirono mentioned how important this bill is to the AAPI community. For those who don't know, AAPI stands for Asian and Pacific Islander. Interestingly enough, to date, there has never been legislation on federal or state level, specifically and solely targeting Aboriginal Americans, also known as Black Americans. The 2009 Matthew Shepard and James Byrd Jr. Hate Crimes Prevention Act does not specifically target so-called Blacks. It's a federal law expanding hate crime legislation to include crimes motivated by gender, sexual orientation, gender identity, and disability. But despite centuries of atrocities and discrimination against them by racist whites and even other racial groups, so-called Black Americans are still not classified by law as a protected group, nor has any Aboriginal American-specific legislation ever been proposed by Congressional Black Caucus or other members of Congress for that matter. Later this year, congressional talks on reparations for Aboriginals is scheduled. Mind you, these political talks have happened at least 6 times over the last 40 years or longer with the same results, nothing changed. Since 1995, Aboriginal Americans, or so-called African Americans or Blacks, have been the victims of 66% of all racially motivated hate crimes, according to the FBI. Though that percentage has dropped over the last year, Aboriginal Americans still are the number one victims of hate crimes, excluding police shootings. And speaking of police shootings, Simon & Schuster says it won't distribute killer cop Jonathan Mattingly's book, citing it did not feel it was right to publish Mattingly's book because it benefited, quote, off black pain. Mattingly was one of three Caucasian officers who murdered Kentucky EMT Breonna Taylor and attempted to murder her boyfriend, whom she was with that night. The police attempted a no-knock raid on her home based on incorrect or false intel. Christian conservative Tennessee-based publishing company, however, Post Hill Press, has offered Mattingly a deal to publish his book. Simon & Schuster said they would not distribute his book, but ironically enough, they may end up doing just that. You see, Simon & Schuster is the number one distributor for, you guessed it, Post Hill Press, the company that offered to publish Mattingly's book. Federal Judge David O. Carter, a federal judge overseeing sweeping lawsuit for or about homelessness in Los Angeles, on Tuesday ordered the city and county to find shelter for all unhoused residents of Skid Row within 180 days and audit any spending related to the out-of-control crisis of people living on the streets. Tenants can stay for up to 6 months and must follow the curfew and no drugs, alcohol, firearms rules, as long as they are trying to get their lives back on track. Two more tiny house villages are slated or scheduled to open this year in 2021. For the record, the housing units are modified sheds containing only a bed, storage shelving, wall AC unit, and heater. Similar sheds, cost about $1,000 to $1,200 at the local Home Depot, but the chosen contractor is charging upwards of $10,000 per unit. Perhaps an audit, as the judge said, and thorough accounting of appropriate funds needs to be done to make sure those involved, from the governor's office down to the Los Angeles mayor's office, do not cheat taxpayers nor put any of the homeless residents in harm's way because of undisclosed building hazards.
Homeless people have been living in North Hollywood's Alexandria Park for years, but now the city is welcoming them there. They're getting ready to open a tiny home village in the park with space for up to 200 homeless people.
This is a life-changing moment to go from living in a tent on a sidewalk to living in your own private, secure, hygienic space.
Although the city built the village, it will be run and operated by Hope of the Valley. They opened a tiny home village like this one just 2 months ago and say they're already seeing success there.
Hope is renewed, and now residents are getting jobs, breaking free from addiction, healing from trauma, and being placed into permanent housing.
Mayor Eric Garcetti says he's proud that the city has been coming up with some solutions to a problem that has plagued the region for years. That's why he's frustrated at the order just handed down by a federal judge ordering the clearance of Skid Row and an audit of homeless funding.
If everybody has good intentions, let's not do theatrics. Let's not do throwing stones at each other. Let's actually continue doing the work. And for anybody who thinks that work isn't being done, I invite them to places like this today.
The mayor went on to say that he probably will be filing, or the city will be filing, a legal challenge to that court order, but he says he's not going to let any of that slow down the efforts like this.
Another music icon transitions, this time from the hip-hop world. Greg Jacobs, more popularly known as Shock G, passes at age 57. Shock G blended whimsical wordplay with reverence for 70s funk as leader of the off-kilter hip-hop group Digital Underground. Shaak-Ti fans will definitely remember his alter ego character Humpty Hump, who always wore a gimmick Groucho Marx-style fake nose and glasses. Jacobs and his group Digital Underground were best known for their 1990 Billboard Top 10 hit Humpty Dance. His head of security, co-manager, and longtime friend Nzazi Malonga said the rapper producer was found unresponsive Thursday in a hotel room in Tampa, Florida. Malonga also added that Jacobs struggled with drug addiction for years. 1 year after their 1990 hit, Humpty Dance, Digital Underground would release their second chart topper called Same Song, and it was this song that would serve as a debut introduction for one of their roadies by the name of Tupac. Greg Jacobs, aka Shaak-Ti, transitioning at the young age of 57. And finally, we are not the only intelligent life forms in the universe, but what else is new? The Pentagon confirms images taken by U.S. Navy personnel and used by documentary filmmaker Jeremy Corbell as authentic. The imagery, along with other visual and audio evidence, is expected to be part of a report on unidentified aerial phenomena to be presented to Congress this summer of 2021. The following excerpt is from CBS Network Today Show.
In night vision video from a Navy destroyer, a mysterious flying triangle above the deck of the ship. The Pentagon confirming the images obtained by documentary filmmaker Jeremy Corbell were taken by Navy personnel, expected to be a part of a report on unidentified aerial phenomenon to be presented to Congress this summer. Already online, some skeptics say the images are caused by cameras trying to focus. But some of the objects go beyond just flying in the sky. One shows a spherical object dipping into the ocean, similar to an incident in Puerto Rico where an object was tracked buzzing an airport, then flying into the water, popping back out before appearing to split into two and disappearing. Over the last several weeks, some of the nation's top former intelligence officials have been raising eyebrows.
Look at that thing. It's rotating.
Former CIA Director R. James Woolsey said he knew of a case where a plane was paused in midair.
A friend of mine was able to have his aircraft stop at 40,000 feet or so and not continue operating as a normal aircraft. What was going on?
In December, ex-CIA Director John Brennan said it was arrogant to believe there are no other forms of life other than the ones on Earth. And former intelligence chief John Ratcliffe says officials have been tracking technology beyond our capabilities.
We're talking about objects picked up by satellite imagery that are difficult to explain.
Like another incident off the coast of California in 2004, when a fighter squadron encountered an object that seemed to defy gravity.
What do you think it is?
I honestly don't know. I don't think that we have developed that technology. I don't think we developed it on this planet.
Video from that encounter and two other incidents were officially released by the Pentagon last year. Now new signs that the Pentagon could declassify more sightings of what they can't explain.
And guys, now here's the thing about those last three F-18 videos. I recently asked the former director of the Advanced Aerial Threat Identification Program at the Pentagon, point blank, are those the only videos that the government has? He said no. Those were probably the least compelling videos. And in some videos, you see an object about 50 feet away from the cockpit.
Ooh.
Guys.
Okay, that's crazy.
You know, I don't want to say I don't believe because I don't want them to come prove me wrong.
Exactly. I'm with you. And by the way, think about every person who thinks they've seen something up in the sky. These are just the military confirmed ones.
I don't like it. I'd like to go back just like thinking that this isn't real.
Okay. Yeah. Moving on.
I'd like to be happy in my ignorance. Yeah.
Whether this is more distraction or a micro-incremental disclosing of sanitized information, we shall see. Also, did you notice the obligatory tongue-in-cheek banter at the end of that CBS Today Show report? So much for fair and unbiased mainstream media reporting. And that's the Balanced Reality Report for this week. Until the next 6 day or Friday, see you soon. The Balanced Reality Report is a Pharaoh's House production. Intro music was produced by Eohaya. Featured song instrumentals in this report were Love's Taken Over by Shantae Moore, Don't Stop the Dance by Brian Ferry, KG by MSFB, and Creative Commons stock music from Mixit.co. If you are an independent music artist and you'd like some airplay on the Balanced Reality Report, drop me an email via pharaohshouse.com blog. Let's support each other and especially independent artists. Use of any third-party audio clip content is within compliance with the Terms of Fair Use and the Copyright Act 107. This report has been presented for informational and educational purposes only. If you wish to use copyrighted material from this report for purposes which go beyond fair use, you must obtain permission from the copyright owner.